You seek the key, but first you must learn the ways of precision, craft, and performance with Acura's all-electric ZDX. With a premium Bang & Olufsen sound system, up to a 313-mile range, and A-Type S variant with an estimated 500 horsepower, their ZDX is the most powerful SUV yet. Unlock the energy when you visit Acura.com to order yours today. Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League, the Champions League, a little bit of Europa League as well tonight. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle, and here are today's topics. Erling Haaland, historic night, leads Man City past RB Leipzig into the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Liverpool's front-footed approach comes up short as Real Madrid eliminate the Reds. Arsenal out of the Europa League after Sporting eliminate the Gunners on penalty kicks, and more concerns for Southampton and Crystal Palace in their pursuits of Premier League survival after suffering crucial defeats to Brentford and Brighton. That's what we've got coming up in today's episode.
Okay, Mr. Musto, I think we have to start the week at the Etihad. Manchester City going into the second leg, 1-1 with Leipzig. A Leipzig team, I have to say, who showed well in the second half of the away game, Vardiol getting a header and then having one or two chances. And I think people thought City would get through this one, Rob, but I don't think with the size, with the ease, with Haaland, I mean, it was at times it was quite incredible watching to think this young man is scoring at this rate, making it look that easy at the highest level of domestic football. It was a little bit one of those. As I was watching it, Rob, I was kind of thinking, we've all played at school with the goal hanger, the guy who stands at the top of the pitch, waits for the ball, smashes it into the back of the net, and that's the only pleasure he really gets out of the game. I mean, Erling Haaland is becoming the top professional, top Champions League, European, world gold hanger.
Yeah, and he does it pretty well, doesn't he? I mean, it just in terms of being in the right place at the right time, when ricochets and saves and bounce back right into his path, and of course, off both feet, he's a really great finisher. Yeah, I mean, he was in beast mode, wasn't he? Haaland was in beast mode, and Gvardiol, is it the probably got his name all wrong there?
Guardiol,
the guy who's meant to be one of the best young centre backs on the planet right now. It's not a great look for him that Man City lost 7-0. I thought City started off, Rob, with great intent. Evening game, Champions League. I thought there was a good atmosphere in the stadium, which there isn't, you know, isn't all the time a great atmosphere, but there was. I just thought City's football, Rob, they were in the mood for it.
Yeah.
Absolutely in the mood for it. And then when the goal started to come, of course, the handball, another one of those for me a little bit, where Rodri heads it back onto the guy's arm, Hendrick's arm. You know, at this point with handball, I'm not surprised with anything. I believe more than ever that I wish that FIFA will look at the handball law again, because it's so harsh that somebody can head the ball down in a challenge from a yard away, and his arm's a little bit away from his body in a challenge, and it's just not fair. It's just not fair for me. In my opinion, it's not fair to get a free shot. Penalty kick for Haaland from 12 yards because of that. So, of course, that made no impact on the game. It was the first goal. Haaland scores a penalty, and then they get another six after that. Erling Haaland, 5 goals. Incredible. But, no, I'm not going to focus on the handball, mate. I have had my say. I think it's a joke. But, no, City up for it. Good atmosphere. Good football. Played really, really well.
So it's interesting, and you said that City did start with a good intention, with a focus. I think there's a couple of reasons around that. We'll touch on Kevin De Bruyne and Pep in a moment. But I just thought, I heard an interesting debate, Rob, after the game, one of the radio shows, where someone was suggesting that basically, you know, there's been this debate, does Haaland make them better, or the better team with him, do they play less football? And somebody phoned up and made it, I thought, quite a reasonable opinion, and saying when City play well, he gets those chances. When City don't play so well, he doesn't look so good and doesn't create that many chances. most of his chances come through City's good play. So Foden has to be on, Grealish has to be on, De Bruyne has to be on, Gundogan. If their game's not quite at it, he's one of them that I think he gets affected by. He doesn't get so many. He's not Harry Kane. He's not Marcus Rashford. He's not that finisher who's, you know, dribbles past people. He gets on the end of things. As you say, he's reading and he's hungry. And I wrote down, Rob, one of my points as I was watching, it's almost like he's got a GPS where the goal is. And wherever the ball is, he's already honing in on where he needs to be to get that goal. And it's a unique skill that he's got and shouldn't be taken for granted. But the argument was, Rob, that there's times when City haven't played so well, he hasn't scored, and people are blaming him rather than turning it the other way.
Well, interesting, Rob. I will turn it the other way just for a different side of that. It's a good point, but I think that is the point. I think when he's in the side, Rob, it's one less really silky, creative player with movement and with link-up play. When City are at their best, they'd rather have... It's like when Pep... There's talk years ago that he would have a team full of midfield players. Yeah. So the when that person said he's not at his best when the team aren't playing the creative, their best style of football, well, maybe because he's in the side and he's part of the link-up that's not quite as good. Again, it's just an angle on this.
It's
a good point, but that's the point, isn't it? That if they've had a false nine at their Foden or something, then the football might be better and more creative without him in the side. But
I hear you, but I suppose the counter argument is you can't get both. You get the beast mode that's incredible, or you get the silky footballer.
Yeah.
One or the other.
Yeah, and the balance is there, Rob. They can try and get the balance. I thought there's a couple of balls over the top for Ireland early on, which they've got to try and do. They've got to cross the ball a little bit more, which they have done. And I think we've had a few games, I can't remember which game specifically, where actually only a couple of pods ago where I remember saying that was old and new City all at once.
Some of the football,
bit of both. And that's obviously the sweet spot. If they can play that curative, penetrating football, because he's the guy you want to pull the ball Absolutely. Back to, and he's going to score a ton of goals. So I think that's probably a pretty accurate assessment of where we're at with City with him in the side.
Yeah.
When the football's good with him in the side and he gets on the end of things, as you said there, he's just standing in the right spots. I mean, he's just, you know, he's almost like, he laughs, doesn't he? He came off the field and it's like, He wanted six, didn't he?
He was gutted he came off, he said.
Well, that would have been a record, wouldn't it? I think that would have been a record in a Champions League game if you'd have got the sixth goal.
Yeah, big messes. But interesting, Rob. There was a bit of talk, and I didn't pick it all up at first, so I went back to read a few things. And there was a few comments from Pep before the game of Kevin De Bruyne. And Pep basically came out and said, Kevin's got to get back to doing the simple things to get himself back to form, which... Some might think is a bit harsh in terms of the amount of assists and how important he's been to the football club. Maybe this is Pep's way of just poking a great player and trying to get another. We've talked about those 5 and 10% can be different. I thought De Bruyne is not a smiling player. He's not one of them who you see, you know, doing big things on the pitch and laughing and joking. But he was involved in the game, scored a brilliant goal, hit the crossbar with the one that come back to Haaland.
Yeah.
And was all the things we know and expect from Kevin De Bruyne can do. So maybe well done, Pep.
I think absolutely well done, Pep, Rob, because in my opinion, it is crazy harsh, but you must think that Pep feels that Kevin can get to a higher level. And I think he knows that if he gives him a bit of stick publicly, that De Bruyne reacts. It hurts him. And instead of being pissed off about it or being sulky about it, he steps up. And this was a great example. He gets poked by his manager, which is like, it is harsh because he's an incredible player that seems to be playing pretty well for me. But Pep thinks there's more from him and he'll say things like the simple stuff and all that. And he might, you know, of course, that might be a point. He might get a little sloppy.
Yeah.
But I think he knows that he gets a reaction from Kevin De Bruyne. The goal into the top corner is like celebration. It's like, you know, remember what I can do. But going back to your last point, Rob, well done, Pep. Well done, Pep, finding a way to motivate a player that most managers probably wouldn't want to criticise because he's so great and he's so, I don't know, he's so productive for the team, but Pep still feels he can do more and poked him, and he was superb. He was superb in the game.
Yeah. Usual standards we see from him. In terms of City, Rob, many talking about... So I heard some discussions again that, well, it was only Leipzig and whatever, but when City are in that mood, Rob, and can perform in that way, they can win the Champions League. What you do know with City is there's a day that is not like that. It's a bit of an off day for them, whether they get in their own heads or whatever. There's a game between now and the final that could stop them winning it, Rob. How do they balance that? How do they make sure get over that now? You know, they talk that Haaland's in the team, so he might score them the extra goal that gets them through a game that they would have lost 4-3. But there's still a game, there's still a day, Rob, when we're saying those De Bruyne's and Grealish's and Foden's and Gundogan's doesn't quite work in a two game in the Champions League against proper quality opposition. I think between now and the final, there's one off day for City. The longer it goes, the more difficult it becomes for them.
Fascinating. It is fascinating, mate. And I'm going to chuck a couple of angles at you. Yeah, I mean, first off, at this kind of tempo, Leipzig had no answer for them. But we know now, and we'll get into it a little later, we've got the list of teams that's still in there for the last eight teams. There's some good teams in there. Sure. What I would say, Rob, and I think I've been saying this the last few years about Pep and the Champions League, that they give teams opportunities. And the further you get into this competition, those players are good. And they take the opportunities and they crush, not crush, but they find a way to knock out Man City. All I would say, Rob, the way that they're playing...
Yeah.
It's a little different. It's a little different. And even in this game, could they be a little bit more protected on the counter when, you know, I'm looking at the back three that was Nathan Ake, Ruben Diaz, Mamadou Akanji, that stay back as a three. And John Stones, as we know, you know, sometimes it's Walker, but I kind of like it with Stones, right back goes into midfield, alongside Rodri. That's a pretty solid five. That's a five players that really are behind the ball when the ball goes forward and De Bruyne and Gundogan, everybody else charges forward. That's a five-man foundation, an insurance policy of five men. I don't know whether it's ever been five before. And this 3-2-4-1, which kind of it looks like when they do that.
Yeah.
Again, maybe they were doing it last year, but I don't seem to remember us reporting on it much, Robbie. It's a little different the way that they do it. Maybe a bit more extreme. I just don't know whether that could give them something else, Rob. And, you know, coming into this podcast, I thought, you know, do I think City can do it this year? Because you've got it with that guy up front.
Yeah.
That can get the extra goals maybe they need when they might concede a couple. I do feel that the foundation, the insurance is a little stronger this time around and they might have a better chance, Rob, of going all the way. Again, as we go through the weeks and the different rounds, we'll see the form because it's not just about City, it's how other teams are looking.
Sure.
But I don't know. I feel a little different this year, Rob. I feel a little different as if this year, you know, between him up there and a little bit more caution in some of the bigger games I've noticed. We'll see if they can do a little bit extra step. What do you think?
I agree with you. At times, I think like Ake as a left back is a more natural left back. I think is helpful.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you know what you're going to get. You know where he is. It's a bit more consistent. Even Stones to a certain degree. At times, although you might need Walker's pace to get you out of trouble. You know, is he as reliable as maybe Stones? It was almost like, you know, four centre-backs playing in those four defensive positions, which is, like you said, an interesting look. That extra man next to Rodri, even Gundogan holding a little bit more than we've seen when required. So, yeah, listen, if they get the balance right, if they get in that kind of form and he's in beast mode, nobody should be able to stop them. But that's the challenge of this competition. That's a challenge for Pep. This is a challenge for great players. We've seen them. We've fancied him many times, Robert, at this point in the competition, and for some reason, it's not quite happened. So, but another great day. Five great goals for Erling Haaland. I mean, his numbers, Rob, are ridiculous. 39 in all competitions, 28 in the Premier League as well. I think he's broke the club record, which was standing for nearly 100 years, of 39 goals in a season. And he's still got, somebody said he could have to, like 15 games left or something, depending on how things go.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? When we come through, it's true magic, because we came to play at Walt Disney World Resort.
Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Let's move it on, mate, to Madrid, to Liverpool. Was always up against it, 5-2 down from the first leg. Nightmare performance at Anfield. And it was one of those nights where I think Jurgen Klopp, before the game, was quoted as saying, we have 1% chance of getting something from this. I suppose that needed an early goal, needed a little bit of, you know, the Man United type performance, you know, the efficiency in front of goal. In the end, it was none of those, and they end up losing 1-0, Rob. Thought they started the game and had a bit of a go. But in fairness, I also thought there was a certain amount of Champions League experience, know-how about the Madrid team that also did a good job in making sure it was 0-0 at half-time. And basically then it was really, you know, Liverpool were up against it to kind of score 4 goals in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I think the team went for it. You know, I was a little surprised at Cody Gakpo playing as a number 8 in midfield. In midfield, like, wow, never seen that before. So fair play. He certainly went for it. Yeah. I mean, I thought it was going to be a ton of goals. It was super open at the start. Liverpool had a little bit of a rally up. They started pretty strongly. Yeah. They had a couple of chances. Then Real Madrid had a couple of chances. As goalkeepers both had really good days, made tons of saves. I just thought we were going to get a load of goals. Then what I thought happened, Rob, is that when the goals didn't come, I thought there was an element of, we can't do it then from Liverpool. There was and Real Madrid were like, well, we don't really need to score a goal. I thought it went into a bit of a stalemate. Liverpool lost belief, Rob, I thought, after the first 15, 20 minutes. Real Madrid started to get on the ball and create chances. They looked the better side. They worked Alisson, probably the best player in the game. He made a ton more saves than Courtois did. And the difference of the two teams was there to see. But I was disappointed because I just think if we'd have got goals a little earlier, maybe it, you know, something a bit more fun was on. But I just thought that both teams didn't really feel a big desire to go and score because Liverpool didn't believe they could get back into it after the first 20 minutes and Real Madrid didn't need to.
I give more credit to Madrid on that. I think at the end of the day, they didn't want this game to get alive. They didn't probably want to poke too much. I just thought that, you know, that Camavinga, Cruz and Modric, I thought the longer the game went, the more control they had. Vinicius Junior on that left-hand side, I thought, is just a threat. His speed and dribbling ability to eliminate defenders. I mean, Trent had a bit of another difficult night over that side of the pitch. And as you say, they needed Alisson to be in really good form before Benzema toes one in and you know, makes it 6-2 and that was that. But listen, it had to have been something very, very special. As you said, it never felt like it got into that kind of that way at any point in the game for me. And I credit Madrid on that. You know, the bad night at Anfield in the end has cost Liverpool, and now they've got to concentrate on 4th spot and getting back in the Champions League that way.
Yeah, they gave Real Madrid no trouble in the second half, Rob. No. A couple of players I thought were excellent and were totally at it and strong with Militao and Antonio Rudiger. Yeah. The two centre-backs of Real Madrid, again, they were fired up early, pretty early, following the attacking players of Liverpool everywhere, aggressive in their defending. Second half, they weren't bothered by Liverpool. I guess you look now, Liverpool's season, Jurgen Klopp knows now that's it. That's kind of it now. They've got one thing to go for, and that's a top 4 finish. And I don't know, mate. I don't know. I don't know whether they've got it in them this year to find a way.
6 points behind now, aren't they? 6 points behind Spurs. Yeah.
It's going to be midfield again.
Yeah, you just don't. It's not the reliance. It's not the consistency that I think you go. They'll go unbeaten. They'll go on 10-game unbeaten run. Not sure that you feel that quite about this Liverpool group as it stands.
Yeah, we said it a million times, Rob. Even Fabinho, I thought, struggled. Milner's, you know, he is what he is at this point. Gakpo didn't help in midfield. If that protection's not in place for the back four, which it has been in previous seasons, the back four has been left open because they're mostly high. Trent's really advanced. Yeah. We know that. So it's only kind of three at the back, sometimes two at the back as Robertson gets forward as well. And whatever level you're playing at and whichever team, in some even you know the Premier League sides, they're gonna continue to take advantage of that, I feel. So maybe wrong. Maybe Klopp can get them revved up for one last run now to the end of the season to find a way to get into top four. Because you've got to think, Rob, you know, I know that there's, and this is just, I guess, back to the ownership thing on this. I know that John Henry and Fenway Sports Group kind of basically said, like, listen, we're not selling the club. We're looking for some investment. I just wonder, Rob, whether that was a bit of a ploy to kind of trying to assure Jurgen Klopp that there is going to be money
available.
That we're not going to be a club that's looking to sell, so we're not going to invest. So Klopp doesn't think about and looking for a new challenge. I don't know. We'll see. It's gone very quiet on that side of things.
Yeah.
I guess the proof's in the putting in the summer market, and that's going to be, of course, that's going to be judged on or decided upon where they're at, whether in the Champions League or not. So, but your Klopp's got to just try and get the boys together now and finish strongly and get in the top four. But again, I'm not very confident that they're going to do it, given the way they are at the moment.
I read a line where he said their season kicks in after the international games. That was
they got a nightmare run of games, haven't they?
City, Chelsea, and Arsenal.
Yeah.
Three games when we come from international break. He said that will tell us whether we're in it or not.
Yeah, and given the situation, Rob, they can't afford to lose one or two of those, can they? They can't with the
based
points.
Based on where the others, you know, Brighton are still going well. Brentford, we talked about, are still not, you know, hanging in there as well. So it's not like it's just theirs and Spurs to buy for. These others in the race as well. So, for Liverpool. Yeah, it's going to have to refocus. You know, a bit of a test for Jurgen Klopp in his group to see how much they can get out the rest of the season and try and make it into that top four to get Champions League football again.
Let's look at the Champions League, mate. The last eight teams, we've got a list here of who's left in it. I could go through it real quick. AC Milan, Bayern Munich, Benfica, Chelsea, Inter Milan, Manchester City, Napoli, and Real Madrid. Fair play to Serie A, by the way. Fair play to
three,
the Italian
three
teams.
In, isn't it? I think since 2006, last time they had three teams in this stage of quarters. Yeah.
So what we're looking at with the favourites, Rob? What are we sort of? Let's pull out of this. And what are you thinking? Give me a final.
I think because we see City every week. We watch English football. I think we believe it's the best league in the world. I think whether rightly or wrongly, we would still feel Manchester City would start as favourites. I'm not sure how the bookies have it, in all fairness. I probably think... But Bayern Munich wouldn't be too far behind them.
Yeah.
Real Madrid wouldn't be too far behind Bayern.
And you've got Napoli.
Napoli would be my little...
Yeah.
Pound of your hard-earned money as a sneaky little outsider right now.
Well, I've just put a circle around them.
Yeah.
Manchester City, and then, like as you said, Bayern and Real Madrid. I don't think Chelsea can go all the way.
No.
I don't think Inter can. I'm pretty sure AC Milan can't.
No. And Benfica.
Benfica, probably not. I mean, listen, this competition in two legs, we've seen all sorts of upsets, and it's where it gets where it's brilliant now. This, from quarterfinals it's pretty blimmin' amazing competition. So none of those games are going to be, they're going to be great to watch all of them, but I would put a final, I would love to see a final of Man City versus Napoli, given Spalletti's work at that football club and Osman, the big striker, and the way their midfield players, they're a pretty dynamic team, mate. Not that I've seen a ton of them, but they look pretty. Yeah, they look pretty.
I mean, the Osman header. Did you see the header?
Yeah, pretty good. Oh, yeah, good jump on it. Yeah, it's a good jump.
Yeah, so I think Jules tomorrow, isn't it? I think it's 7 a.m. Eastern time. Yep. Yeah, tomorrow.
That's right.
So, yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. And all bets are off. Anybody can play.
Draw the quarters and through to the semis.
Yeah.
That. So, yeah, we'll know sort of who's headed where. So,
yeah.
We'll maybe have a little chat about that on a podcast at the weekend, just to see who gets who and sees. Hmm. Okay, my friend, let's move it on from the Champions League. Let's get to the Europa League. Arsenal drew 2-2 in Sporting. Brought to the Emirates.
What
was 1-1.
What a game.
It ended up 1-1 in normal time. We go to extra time. We end up going to penalties. And it's Sporting who won 5-3 on penalties. A quite dramatic ending of what was a great game over 2 games. Two quite evenly spaced teams. Yeah. Sporting dropping from the Champions League. I think you could see the quality. Their coach, Robert, I know, is somebody who's been held in very high regard. I think he's on Spurs' list or somewhere I was reading. He's a young coach who many have got their eye on in terms of style of play, you know, pressing the ball, good structure, good age. But it was a night, Rob, where I suppose all along the silver lining for Mikel Arteta is, well, they're better off out of that. They can concentrate on the league. I just didn't feel it was one of those nights. It didn't feel like it was one of those better off out of it. Not when you have a couple of injuries. Tomiyasu early, Saliba looks like a back injury. Don't know how bad that is.
Yeah.
Jesus came on, at 45 minutes started. Trossard came on, but it affected. Mikel Arteta was just talking after the game how it affected his choices of making different subs. He only had one window then that he could make further subs and wasn't as he would like. He accepts that injuries are going to happen because he's generally played strong teams in this competition, Rob, hasn't he? He's not used this as a resting or getting others' minutes. He's generally gone with a fair portion of his first 11, six, seven, eight of his first 11 with some sprinkled in.
Yeah, he has, but I mean, I think he's got no regrets. You know, I think he'll have no regrets about the night, Rob. It was a brilliant game of football.
Yeah.
He rested his important players, so he did. And I think he was right to do that. Trossard, Saka, Odegaard, Partey and Ben White were all rested. That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's half of his outfield team were rested in this game. Great news for Gabriel Jesus, by the way. Who I thought looked sharp. Looked really, really sharp in that first 45 minutes. So I think he made the changes that... I think it's sensible. I think he did it in the right way. The team was struggling. He brings on all the star players, if you like, and they got better, as he said in his interview, Rob. They got better as the game wore on, and they finished with some energy, by the way. I looked at the second half of extra time, and I'm like, wow. Now, I know that there's five subs now, and like maybe the better players came on late, so they were fresh, but there was some energy about Arsenal. And any time the ball went dead, I mean, you could see Arteta, the camera went right in on his little team talks. I mean, his team were fired up. They were fired up. The fans were up for it. It wasn't one of them, Rob, where, you know, you sort of said, well, they're better off out of it. There was some determination in that stadium for them to go through.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a brilliant game of football, by the way. I mean, what about the goal? What about the goal from almost the halfway line? Pedro Goncalves. What a goal that was. Oh. I mean, it was... I thought they were excellent teams.
They were good.
They were
a good team. I thought it was a really good game. Two very good teams. Times they pressed, Arsenal got the ball back from them, quick counter attacks. Arsenal had good build ups, made good chances. I'd go to Trossard, could have won it in extra time
because he goes past
the goalkeeper, makes a save, hits the post, comes out. I mean, that probably changes the night. Interesting that, you know, what was pleasing, and you're right, in that Mikel Arteta was very positive at the end, talked about turning this now into 11 cup finals or whatever they're going to need between now and the end of the season, and all focuses on Crystal Palace Sunday afternoon at the Emirates.
Yeah, and, you know, we can say all you said there about the night at the Emirates and how they gave it their best shot for that particular occasion, but it is going to help them. It just is. It's going to help them. Less games, the Thursday-Sunday thing.
Absolutely.
They can focus now weekend to weekend.
Mm.
Absolute full focus. The William Saliba thing will be a worry. Now, again, I don't know if there's any reports. We're recording this like very soon after the game finished. That's
Rob Holding came in. I thought he did okay. Actually, I thought Rob Holding did all right.
Yeah, but we know
it's not Saliba.
No. That's something that Arsenal fans might be just sweating on a little bit. This team has been so great because it's been the same team for the majority.
Yeah.
And the Palace game, you know, at the weekend, they got to go. They got to go again now.
Yeah.
I know that Palace have been struggling and they can't win a game. I don't think they've won a game in 2023.
No, not in 2023. No.
But yeah, Arsenal's focus will quickly switch to that. And again, the star players, some of them played the whole game. Will be fresher for that game. So, yeah. I just thought it was a great game, good entertainment. Fans loved it. We're into it. Arteta did the right thing, rested a few, but absolutely went out to win the game. And it was Martinelli who missed a penalty, wasn't it, in the penalty shootout?
Yeah.
And that's just one of those things. It was just a fun night, a great game to watch from the beginning to the very end.
Yeah, absolutely. And all focus now on the Premier League on Sunday when, again, I think the fans will have a bit to play because if there's any flatness, if there's a few tired legs or so, one or two players just stretching towards the end of it as we get into extra time, obviously it does take out on you physically and emotionally. They've got to get themselves right, 3 days now, sort of a Friday, Saturday, get the sort of on-field training prep, and then Sunday you got to go.
Yeah,
you know, so there's not a lot of time. But a little test, but a great incentive, Robert. If they do win at the weekend, they go 8 points clear at this stage of the season. Just starts to pile a little bit of pressure over to Manchester City. That game, Arsenal v Palace, is on 9 a.m. Eastern time on USA and Telemundo.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the tree of life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Okay, my friend.
All right.
Manchester United.
Yes.
Don't think we ever thought this one was in too much doubt. 4-1 up from the first leg against Betis. If I was to say to you, close your eyes, think of a Manchester United player that did score if you didn't see a thing, you'd probably say Marcus Rashford. You'd probably be right. He's probably his, 27th goal in all competitions this season. 9 assists add to that in 43 games this season. Robbie, his best return. And I mean, the guy's on absolute fire. He had a couple of other chances, Rob. Maybe some even easier that didn't take. But the one he scores, a beauty, Casemiro switches out to him. He comes in from that left-hand side, 25 yards out. It's a cross the ball. It's a beautiful strike. And the trademark celebration, the 1-0 win for Ten Hag, and United go through in the competition.
Yeah, they go through. Not bothered really in the second half. I thought they were... I mean, the first 45 minutes, Rob, you know, they were little. They were a little sloppy for them.
Yeah, they weren't quite at it.
Yeah, they weren't quite at it. But again, when you got that amount of lead,
God, isn't it? Yeah,
it's got to be natural for the players just to be a little bit more careful and not give everything every moment. So they were. It wasn't sharp United, but Rashford like pulls his foot back and 20 yards out. It's amazing, isn't it, Rob? How when you're in a scoring, I mean, if he was desperate for a goal, he's not hitting that. It's certainly not going to go in. It's just, it's like this, it's like a habit, isn't it? Like winning's a habit, like scoring goals, it's like a little habit. Whatever he does, it's all going. He's not thinking about it, maybe. Another goal for him, and it's like, my one thing with Man United are finishing the top four, because they've still got a job on to do that. There's going to be some challenge now from the others.
Yeah.
I always think if Rashford's not scoring, then I would be concerned where the goal's going to come from. But if he continues in this form right to the end of the season, they're going to do it. They're going to finish in the top four, which would be pretty good work from the manager and from this team when they're kind of going through a transition. But job done. you know, rested. I think there's a few players rested in this
game. Yeah, he got Maguire had minutes, didn't he? Which was interesting. Right. He's made it into the England squad, Rob, and obviously not play. So Malassia played at left back. Yeah. Casemiro and Fred, obviously Casemiro
can't play.
Wan-Bissaka at fullback.
But no, not much to say. It's just it was just job done. Through to the quarterfinals. Well, fair play to Manchester United. But yeah, too much for Betis. By the way, good. Love to go and watch football there. By the way, Seville in Spain.
You
got Sevilla and you got Real Betis. Stadium that. Big stadium. Good atmosphere. But United much too good for Betis over the two legs.
Let's take you to London Stadium, mate. West Ham. We're 2-0 up from the first leg away at Larnaca, mate, a 4-0 win at home. Pretty convincing for David Moyes and his men. So I think that's 10 wins now in this competition, Europa Conference League this season, 10 straight wins for West Ham. That, I mean, I suppose the question is, Rob, some will suggest West Ham's predicament in the league, would they be better off getting out of the competition? A bit like maybe some could suggest it, Arsenal, you know, going for the title, would they be better off out? I suppose I can see arguments for both in some respects. I'm of the impression, and you tell me it's different for you or how you see it. I always think, Rob, winning football in a football club builds confidence, good spirit, togetherness. So I would rather playing games and win them on a Thursday night and have, whether it's a Sunday game or whatever, on the back of a win than be on a losing run going from week to week and not be feeling that good about myself. I think Jared Bowen getting a couple of goals is great. Scamacca getting a goal is important. Forward scoring goals and getting a feel-good factor. So in this instance, I actually think it's a competition that might help West Ham staying in the league.
So why hasn't it helped them to this point? There you go. Throw it back at you. Why hasn't it helped them? It's not helped them.
It hasn't. But I'm saying you get confidence from wins. You get confidence from scoring. You've just made the point about Marcus Rashford. Jared Bowen will be feeling way better about himself, having got two goals in this competition that some may say is it not necessary. Some may say is a hindrance. His form in the league hasn't been great. He's just got two goals. Now he can take that buzz into the Premier League.
Yeah, I don't totally disagree with that, Rob. All I would say is that this competition and the quality, the level, you know, playing blimmin', who was it, Larnaca. Larnaca. That's the cream you put on a bruise on your arm.
They have been a bit bruised, West Ham.
Yeah, they have been a bit bruised.
Maybe it was cream.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, what I would say is, and yeah, you're right, if players are scoring goals, that's great. But they got to go again on Sunday. So if it's any detriment to those players' levels, fitness levels or energy levels that you've not wasted, but you've used in this you know, this low-level European competition, that's not going to be good for their survival. So, yeah, it's great winning, Rob. Mm. And I don't, not that I'd say that you want to get out of it, but I would, if I was the manager, I would be absolutely really careful that I want my star players in tip-top condition for the Premier League. And if I didn't watch this. I don't know the full details, whether the important players played the whole 90 minutes or whatever.
Yeah,
that was
a strong team. Front four of Bowen, Fornals, Lanzini, Scamacca.
You're right. Now, did they play? If they played the whole game and stuff,
they came off.
So
it's the other thing, and not to be pedantic, and I do get your point, is that I don't think West Ham play this weekend. I think because of the cup, they've got no game now through till the international weekend. So it is
a game you can play.
It's a game to play them and then think about whatever happens later on. But I totally get your point. And it's no use winning the Europa Conference League or going to the final and getting relegated. I'm not sure any West Ham fans are going to say, that's a really great season. No. Priority has to be, should always be, the Premier League. Not only, you know, they've a team who've been in the European places, not just stayed in the league. So... but I think we both think David Moyes should be given the time. It looks like, you know, a draw last week, get him a point. And then after the international break, they're seriously going to have to get their head down and get a couple of victories.
That's the next game, Robin. That's the next game.
Yeah, April 2nd.
So they have got a stint. So, yeah. So this particular Thursday, that's okay. Obviously,
there's a bit of a gimme.
Yeah, that's good.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday Savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
Have you ever brought your magic to Walt Disney World like, hey, we came to play? Did you tip your tiara to a Creole princess or get goofy officially? Step up like a boss and save the day? Or see what life's like under the Tree of Life? Did you? If you could, would you? When we come through, it's true magic. 'Cause we came to play. Bring the magic at Walt Disney World Resort.
Okay, my friend. It's a busy week, a mixed bag of Europa Conference League and Champions League, and we had a couple of Premier League games as well. And while it was difficult to catch a bit of everything, I kind of kept my eye on Southampton and Brentford because I'm looking at Southampton at the weekend, an important game they've got against Spurs. Mm. Despite all the positivity of Ruben Selez, and he says a lot of the good, right things, and there's good noises coming out of the football club, Rob, what I saw in Southampton is a team that want possession of the ball, a team that are comfortable in possession and look like they're doing their work in possession, doesn't necessarily lead to too many chances. The wide players, Perreault and Walker Peters actually the two most dangerous in terms of team play, getting wide and maybe trying to make things happen. But they got sucker punched by a Brentford team with way too much streetwise. Set piece, which they're brilliant at. Brentford, one of the best, don't get enough credit for that. Breakaway goal with counter-attack transition, which they're great at. Didn't have, I think, over the course of both halves, and I was trying to keep an eye on the possession, but I think Southampton had more possession of the ball. Brentford's a bit like, yeah, you can have it. You can feel that you're doing all right, but we'll win it and we'll do the important things. And I think I almost felt like there was a bit of a learning for Selez. Let's not get too preoccupied in just possession and just the ball and just... You've got to win football matches. You've got to manage moments. You've got to see things out. And you've got to get the balance right, Rob, between a team that don't look like there's a load of goals in them to try and keep them in the league.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, similar kind of observation, Rob. I had my eye on both of these games, my laptop and my TV going. And all I saw was tons of energy from Southampton. And that's what a new manager will give. And we know that their squad is quite a young squad. Some young players are brought in. So the energy from the young players is apparent. Yeah. But they don't create enough, Rob. Mm. They don't create enough. They don't look like they're going to score. No. They don't look like they're going to create too much. Ali Nusi on the right-hand side.
Yeah.
Flatters to deceive a little bit. The striking situation. The contrast with them in Brentford, with Wissa, with Ivan Toney, with Mbeumo. Whether you call it streetwise or physicality, they're scorers. They're scorers. And that's the difference. Brentford have got three regular scorers, and one who's just been called up for the national team, Ivan Toney.
Yeah.
You know, a very, very good striker at Premier League level now, and fair play to him for making that switch. Fair play for the team for playing in a style that suits him and the wide players, the flick-ons, the little balls in behind, the physicality, the set pieces. So the manager and the club are well-aligned, getting this team going in the right direction. And Southampton have just... You know, from the switches they made, the changes they made with managers and young players and all the signings they made, the January going back to some more experienced players to come back and change the balance back again. They just don't look like they've got enough players that can create and score goals. And that is in a nutshell, what I saw. So in terms of that result, Rob, when you consider the next few weeks, Spurs, Man City, Arsenal, Newcastle United, a very difficult run. Yeah. You play Brentford at home. And you lose 2-0 is a big body blow. It's a punch in the kidneys. I don't know how they get up now and try and find the results to get them out of trouble.
In fairness to him, Rob, and I totally agree because I think we had a similar outlook on the game. But they have beaten Chelsea. They have drawn at Manchester United. So I think you can go back to those moments and try and say, listen, this is when we were better or at our best. But you've got to find a way to be more.
The home form is always important. Home form's
terrible. They've got the worst home form in the league, Rob. So that tells you everything. Six of the last seven at home, they've lost. Unless we can find a Ward-Prowse free kick, really, we're starting to struggle where the next goal might come from. Which is a struggle. But listen, I like what I've seen about Celez. We're going to find out a little bit more about him and his group of players, and can they find a way out? Maybe playing against some of the bigger boys has given them a little bit more incentive. But I thought they were well beaten by a Brentford team that had too much know-how, too many good players, really, better players in the decisive area of the pitch. Then have you caught your eye on Brighton Palace, the M23 derby or rivalry? It's not quite the Manchester North London derby, but it means a lot to people down from those parts of the world. It was interesting. After the game, I heard Roberto De Zerbi say, "We didn't play particularly well today, but got the win," which is the standards he set. I thought it was a beautifully cultivated goal. Got played into Matoma. He gets turned, plays into Solly March, who makes a beautiful run. Mm. One touch to set, one touch to finish. Yeah. It was a brilliant finish. And again, a bit like Southampton, Rob, you start to look at Crystal Palace and think, not sure where the goals are coming. Edward was back in the team. Missed a header from 6 yards out. I can't quite believe any centre-forward of his worth. At least, Rob, the line is at least he should hit the target. He shouldn't hit the target. He should score a goal. A ball comes in. It's a striker not doing his job or not able to do his job. Outside of that, I thought they had some good moments, started the game quite well. They were lively and looked like they're up for it. But I think over time, you don't know where a goal's coming from, Rob. One or two players look a little bit frustrated to me with what's happening. And, you know, for all the talent, the Elises, the Zahas, you know, people of that calibre, something's not going right at that football club.
No, it's a struggle right now, Rob. You know, bad misses. I made notes of the bad misses. Edouard, Michael Elise, Zaha. All these players had really good opportunities to score goals. And when it's not going in, then obviously it's going to be a big struggle. Mm. Young goalkeeper makes good saves.
Yeah.
Probably might be a bit 19 years of age. Mm. Might be disappointed that he just got caught out with that Solly March, took the shot really early with his left foot, finds the far corner. And Brighton are playing the conference. Just on Palace's plight, Rob, I know that the points is really, really tight, right? They're 12th in the table still.
Yeah. 27 points.
They've 3 points.
Three points above bottom now, yeah.
Right. But that's 8 teams below them, right? And I know some have got a game to play. Yeah. I know some of them got a better goal difference, some haven't. That's 8 teams below them, Rob. So those 8 teams, you know, they've still got to find a way to get past Crystal Palace in the league table. Even though that the points gap is little, they've still got to win those games. They've still got to get up there. So with 27 points, you win a game, you get onto 30. You know, we're looking at 36 points and you might be all right. I just feel like I still think they're going to be okay. That's what I'm trying to say. And it's okay when you say 3 points to the bottom three, but that's the league table is the league table. They're the 12th best team right now. They're not the 18th, the 19th or the 20th. And listen, a few games.
Yeah, but yeah.
They're not all going to win, Rob, are they?
What I think that the worry, Rob, is that some are, that Bournemouth find a result, that Southampton have found a result, that one or two. I mean, they go to Arsenal this weekend, Rob. No win since the turn of the year. They go to Arsenal, which, despite Arsenal going as far as they did in the competition, having to play extra time and penalties, I still fancy Arsenal to beat them at the weekend because of what they have at the top end of the pitch compared to Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, that's another game gone.
Yeah.
That's another 3 points missing.
The others have got to win, haven't they?
Don't think there'll be a panic at Crystal Palace. I know some of the people there reasonably well, but I think they'll be concerned, Rob, and I think they'll be concerned to get those points sooner rather than later. This isn't a club who can afford to gamble at being in the league. They have to be in the Premier League. There's a lot of big talk about building new building ground up and new additions and bringing new ownership groups into the football club. It's a very ambitious club with some ambitious targets, and Championship football is definitely not one of them.
Mm. Just thinking about their record since the beginning of 2023, which is a bit of a shocker. Is Patrick Vieira would they make a change, Rob? I mean, I would not support that right now.
No, but they wouldn't. They wouldn't right now. I think they're a club that would not want to, but I think would be prepared to if they have to, Rob. I think that's how best to put it. I don't think they'd want to, and I don't think they're rushing to, and I don't think there's any, like, immediate. But I think in two or three games, if we're talking about the same run, no wins in 2023, maybe the odd draw here and there, and it starts to tighten up, you say those eight teams do start to tighten up. I don't think... I think unless form changes and we're getting down to three, four, five games, I might be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they made a change then. It's funny, freshen up.
I mean, it's football, isn't it? I mean, the job that he did last year, with a big change in style. A lot of new players left the club, and they had a really good season last year. Finished comfortably in 12th spot. Some difficult times this year. You go 12 games or whatever it is, 11, 12 games.
Without a win,
and all of a sudden the spotlight is on, and the hot flipping potato gets chucked from one manager, and it's coming Patrick's
way. Patrick, Rob, just when you've got Eze, Elise, Zaha.
Where's Eze? I don't understand why he's not playing.
You know, Edward, are you? It seems like there's enough there.
Defensively, they've been strong enough, decent.
He's got in the England squad again this time. Allison's a great player that we know. Mitchell's consistent. Klein's been decent.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's sort of what makes it a little bit difficult for Patrick is that people will look and think, this group should be doing better than they are. We'll have to see how that one goes. Going to be a tight one between now and obviously First look on Sunday at the Emirates where they go against an Arsenal team. Can they benefit from Arsenal going out of the competition and playing under 20 minutes in penalties? We'll have to see how that one goes. Listen, mate, we'll wrap it up there on a bit of a mixed bag of midweek football, European and domestic football, where both Manchester teams make it. Liverpool lose, West Ham win. Arsenal draw but drop out of the Europa League. We'll find out if that's a good thing or not. While Brighton and Brentford still dream of European football themselves next season. We'll be back on Sunday, that's March the 19th, when we'll look back on match week 28 and see if Arsenal can put an eight-point gap between them and Manchester City. But for now, I'm Earl, he's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him.
Good night.
Good night.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.